St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, and you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm glad to see that you're all honoring the rule of stay at least 6 feet away from each other and to avoid catching the flu. Doing a really good job of that this morning. One of the rules of thumb when it comes to looking at Scripture is this: Scripture interprets Scripture. Another way of saying that, if you have a passage from Scripture and you want to understand it more deeply, you can go to another part of Scripture that gives you the backstory to what you're talking about. The gospel text for today gives us a wonderful opportunity to do that, because Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I be lifted up. To understand what that means, we can go back to the Old Testament. And it's a story of when God's people, having escaped their slavery from Egypt, are wandering in the wilderness. And they are at the point where, like the little kids in the back seats of our cars do, you know, they're starting to complain about the trip. They're whining and grumbling and murmuring and carrying on. And God becomes extraordinarily frustrated with them. And so what happens is, as they're complaining and murmuring and grumbling as they walk along, they end up in this valley that is full of snakes. Now, they're not just any kind of snakes, they're poisonous snakes. And many of God's people were bitten by those snakes, and they died from the snake bites. This eventually was enough to sort of get God's people to realize that something had gone wrong. And they go to Moses and they ask Moses to plead before God, "Can you find a way to help us not die from these snake bites?" Moses speaks with God, and God says to Moses, "Do this. Make a staff and put a brass image of a snake around that staff, and anytime that someone has been bitten by the snake, you have them look at that staff, and they'll be saved from the venom, and they'll be saved from death. And sure enough, Moses does that, and in doing so, those who were bitten by the poisonous serpents, they looked at that staff, and they lived. Now, here's an interesting present-day connection. If you look at the sides of ambulances, and you can see the staff and that snake wrapped around it sometimes, that image carries on. In order to be healed, they were required to look at what was killing them in the first place. So Jesus raises that story, and then he goes on to say, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That phrase being lifted up is a common phrase that is used for what was done when a person was lifted up on the cross to be crucified. And so what Jesus is doing is making a connection between the snakes and his own death and resurrection. That by looking at the cross of Christ, we see our death, but we also see the gift of life that God offers. This action of God in saving us from death, we find out is done because God loves us. God doesn't want us to be condemned. God doesn't want us to experience the justice and judgment that comes from the way that we live. God wants us to live. This process of looking at the cross and hearing of Jesus' resurrection and the gift of life is also what happens regularly when we encounter the Word of God. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in hearing that Word of God, we are confronted with our own brokenness, we are confronted with our own death, and we are reminded that out of love, God will save us. Even from where we have done things that are wrong. I think that understanding of life can really help us when we encounter difficult moments in our own lives. The reality, which we would prefer to avoid, but we can't, is that we will have those dark moments in our lives. St. John of the Cross called those dark nights of the soul, where we will reach our deepest and most despairing parts of life, whether it's because something has happened to someone that we love or we are suffering ourselves, and we will be in those dark and difficult moments. And what we are reminded of is in those moments, we aren't by ourselves. But Jesus Christ is with us. And out of even those deepest and darkest places, God will bring life. It also reminds us that we as people can find ways to minister to those who are in those deep and dark moments. I love the story of Moses out and watching the sheep, and he comes across this burning bush, and the voice of God speaks through to Moses through the bush, and finally God says, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. And many times I've heard that used as those moments when you are invited by another person into the depth of who they are, and to realize that when you're invited into those moments, you really are standing on holy ground, being trusted by that person. And we can be a presence with others whenever they are having a difficult and painful time. I think the obstacle to doing that is that we are afraid that we won't say the right thing. But you know what? It's not what we say that they remember. they remember that we were with them and that we had the courage to be with them in those difficult moments. I remember sitting with a father as he was facing the death of his infant son, and totally out of my league at that point in those situations, and didn't have much to say. But 2 days later, when he had come back to the hospital after his son had died, he looked me up and he said, "Thank you for being with me in those moments." We as God's people can be with others when they struggle and when they're hurting. And it's holy ground to which we are invited in those moments. I think it's also important for us to realize that there are things that we don't do because we are afraid that it might take us to one of those difficult moments. I think fear is a powerful way to shape what we do and what we don't do. We're in the process of teaching my 16-year-old son to drive. So if you want to talk about fear, right there it is. He's at that point in the process where he knows how to do it better than his parents do. You know, we've had those moments, my wife and I both, that we've told him to pull to the side of the road and get out of the driver's seat because we don't think that the yelling and screaming at each other is a safe way to go from place to place. And he always gets frustrated with me when we're driving through a neighborhood where I know there are children, and I'll tell him to slow down. He goes, "Dad, the speed limit is 25. I'm going the speed limit." And I said, "No, you need to slow down." And he said, "Dad, it's 25. I'm allowed to go 25. And he sort of finally just looked at me and said, "Why do you need me to go slower than that?" And I told him the story of being the chaplain on the trauma team in a children's hospital and being the one that sat with the parents of the child who had run out into the street, hit by the car, and had lost their child. Fear, based on what has happened to us, really does shape how we live our lives. But we are reminded that in each of those dark and difficult moments, Jesus Christ is with us. We may not escape the moments. There may not be justice in those moments. But in the end, God will have the final word, which is about love and eternal life. The woman who was my organ instructor in high school and college died a couple weeks ago. Even to this day, as a young man, I called her Mrs. Freund, but even as an adult, I could never call her by her first name because I had such respect for her. And I was spending some time thinking about my time with her and realizing every time that it came time for my lesson, I was just so insecure about making a mistake because she was so good, and what was she going to do when she heard that mistake? And other times I remembered she would say, "You know, you're having a hard time with this section here in the music." And finally I said, "How do you know that?" She goes, "Because you stick your tongue out every time you get to a hard spot in the music." Mrs. Freund never went to any of my recitals because she knew I would be so intimidated by her sitting there that it would get in the way. I talked with her briefly right as she went into hospice care, and she asked me to be involved in her funeral. And then as she was hanging up, her husband got on the phone, and her husband said, "You need to know how much she loved you." And I thought, how many times if we think that way about a person, we think about God the same way, as the one who's judging and condemning and beating us down, and we don't realize how much this God loves us. Because God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn. God sent Jesus into the world so that people could have life, a life that's possible through love. and that what we can hold on to in each and every moment of our lives. Amen.